What do you do? What do you want to be when you grow up? That was a question I got asked a lot. As I was growing up and as I was going through high school and I was going to college, I got asked this question all the time. And many of you know that I've wanted to be a pastor almost all of my life. And when I was asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would always tell them without question, I'm going to be a pastor. It's going to be a pastor. And responses had a variety of range within which they'd come. Some of those responses were, oh, good for you. And the conversation kind of quit. Other responses were, oh, I'm so sorry. Still don't quite know how to read that one. But one of my favorite replies was, well, that's not for me. I'm just not all that religious. Now, I have to admit, when I was growing up and I was asked these questions about what I wanted to do, and I would tell them that I was studying to be a pastor, I thought it was my job, that it was my duty, that it was my obligation to defend my faith. I thought it was my job, my duty, my obligation to defend the Bible, to defend Jesus, to defend everything in there. And sometimes people would ask me the question and I just wouldn't know the right answers. I wouldn't be able to come up with a well-formed answer in my head. And so I would just kind of run away and hide. Not really like that, but I'd try and steer away from those questions as much as absolutely possible. Because I didn't have a good enough defense for Jesus. I didn't have a good enough defense for the Bible to be able to respond. And so I thought if I don't respond at all, they can't get me saying the wrong thing, right? Well, then as I got a little bit older, I realized when I was going to college, you know what? It's my job to defend this thing, so I'm going to know as much as I can about my faith and what I believe in, and as much as I know about what other people believe, so that when they ask me, I can bludgeon them with the truth of what I believe and shoot holes in everything they believe. And so I went to school, and I majored in religious studies and world religions. And so that way, when someone asked me what I believed, I could tell them what I believed and why what they believed was just dead wrong. I was a not nice guy. And I did it in the name of Jesus. I mean, how bad is that? But you see, I began thinking that I had to defend everything that I had learned. I had to defend the Bible. I had to defend Jesus. I had to defend creation. I had to defend the resurrection. I had to defend all these things. And I took it upon myself. I carried this weight on my shoulders that said, it's on me. And so in order to defend, I thought I had to shoot others down. I thought I had to poke holes in other people's stories and show their fallacies and show why they were wrong and lower them so that I could make myself look better. That was me. That was how I shared my faith. Wonderful example, right? No. What I did was I left Christianity and I started practicing religion. What is religion? When someone starts talking to you about religion or they start bringing up this whole religion idea, how do you respond? Are you like me? Do you try and poke holes in other people's stories? Do you try and tell them that their belief system is just wrong and bludgeon them with what your version of the truth really is? I was doing some studies this week and I'm trying to figure out what a good working definition of religion was. And this is what I came up with. One site that I went to, one source I read, it said, conduct indicating a specific belief system. Religion is all about conduct. Religion is all about conduct. It's about conduct that is done to appeal to or appease the one you are worshiping. You understand that? Conduct is about pleasing, doing specific actions to get right with the one you worship. And religion is about doing certain things to force others to believe the way you do. I might be overstating the truth with the word force, but it's to drag people into believing the way you do. Religion is about rules and rituals. Religion is about laws and do's and don'ts. Religion is about have-tos and must-dos. Religion is about hoops and hurdles. Religion. It's all the stuff that men have added to what God gave us. Religion. Are you religious? I sure hope not, because if so, I'm about to offend you. Because today, we're going to lose our religion. I was really tempted to have REM come in and do a little riff about losing my religion, but they were booked today, so I couldn't get them here. Losing my religion. You see, I'm a firm believer in the fact that religion has no place in the life of a Christian. I'm a firm believer that religion has no place in your life or mine as followers of Jesus. Religion, in and of itself, isn't terrible, but the end result of religion is never good. When I think about religion, I think about things that happened in Jesus' life. The people surrounding Jesus in some of his earlier days in ministry, they were religious people. You see, the Pharisees, we talked about them last week, right? They're the law people. They're the legal people. They're the people who all they care about are the laws, right? And you've got to do certain things and act a certain way and be a certain way. And you've got to do all this stuff to get right with God. And the doing of the law, the completion of certain tasks, all that is what makes you righteous and what makes you right in God's eyes. This is what the Pharisees thought. This is what the Pharisees taught. And so they kept teaching this law thing, and they kept teaching this doing of the law. They kept teaching this doing of works stuff. They kept teaching this, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta. And Jesus comes in and he brings a different spin on a similar message. He says, I've fulfilled the law. And he says, I want to tell you something. I want to introduce you to this thing called forgiveness. I want to introduce you to this thing called love and mercy and grace. I want to introduce you to this thing called joy. I want to introduce you to this thing called salvation. And so Jesus opens up this new world for the people of his day. The Pharisees weren't real happy. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees, driven by religious fear, sought to get rid of any obstacle in their way. You see, that's what religion does. Religion forces you to find the obstacles and obliterate them. That's what I was doing. When I was studying world religions and when I was studying all the religious bodies of the world, I began to try and find how I could obliterate anyone who was thinking differently than me. Religion is about, at any cost, getting rid of your enemies. We've got a Bible lesson this morning from Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 is this great passage, and it talks a lot about this, how to work with religious situations. And it talks about the difference, it demonstrates the difference between religion and Christianity, religious people and followers of Jesus. So Acts chapter 5, right before this, you'll read the story. If you open this up and you kind of read the context a little bit, this story and the context within which it fits is an account of Peter making a pretty bold confession of his faith. He's pretty bold about what he believes. Now, before we get too far into Acts chapter 5, I want to back up and remind you of something that happened just about a week and a half ago. About a week and a half ago, we were celebrating Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. And as we were celebrating Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, we talked about this guy named Peter, same guy. We talked about this guy named Peter, this follower of Jesus, right? And here's how Peter responds in a moment of religious fear. He's standing with Jesus in a garden. Still doesn't really quite get the whole Jesus thing. I mean, like, he knows Jesus, but doesn't really know Jesus. And he knows Jesus is there, and he knows what Jesus is about to do, but he doesn't quite get the importance of it. And so the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and they come bearing swords and spears and clubs, and they gather around, and Peter grabs his sword, and he, in a moment of religious fear, this is not a follower of Jesus moment, this is a religious moment, he pulls this thing out and he chops off the ear. He is willing to kill for his faith. He's willing to kill someone else for the belief system to which he clings. He believes Jesus is somebody important and he's willing to kill somebody else or harm someone very badly in an effort to defend him. Religious people are willing to kill for their faith. Let's meet up with Peter sometime later. Let's meet up with Peter a little bit later in Acts chapter 5. He says in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, this is after they had been arrested and then they're released, and then they find themselves doing exactly what they were told by the authorities not to do anymore, right? Don't preach in the name of Jesus. They're doing that. And so they're now in front of these leaders again and these rulers again. And they said, "We strictly charge you not to teach in his name, and yet here you are doing what I told you not to do." Verse 29 of Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." One of the things Jesus tells us time and time again throughout his life on earth is he calls people to follow. Follow me. Obedience is like following Jesus. Think of this idea of obey as if we're following Jesus' lead. We're walking behind Jesus. We're walking with Jesus, following where he is taking us. And Peter finally gets it. Somewhere after the resurrection, somewhere after Jesus appearing to Peter, something snaps in Peter's mind. Something snaps up here, and all of a sudden, Peter gets it. And Peter realizes it's not about lashing out in religious fear. It's not about actions I perform to get right with God, but it's about something God has done for me. And now I'm not going to kill for my faith, but I'm willing to die for it. We must obey God rather than men. And then he goes on to say this. He's not done yet. I mean, Peter was always a pretty blunt individual, but now he's blunt in a very directed manner. He's blunt in a very specific way that's good. He channels all that. He says, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree." And so Peter says, look, I want you to understand who it is I'm following. I'm here to obey God, not you, not man. I'm not here to listen to your rules and the way that you make up this structure. I'm here to follow God. I'm here to do the things God called me to do. And this is the God I'm talking about. It's the same God of our fathers. So he's pointing back to their history. And he said, "The God of our fathers who raised Jesus from the dead." Now, if you don't remember who this Jesus guy is, Peter's going to remind us. He says, "This Jesus guy is the same one you killed by hanging on a tree." Now, you got to understand, these events that he's speaking about happened not too long ago, a few blocks away. Okay? They happened really close in proximity and really close in time. So we're not all that far disconnected from the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so Peter's calling their minds to this thing that just happened. They all had heard about it. They all had seen it. They all had known about it. They may not have believed in it, but they knew that it happened. And he says, "I'm here to obey God, not men. And this God that I'm here to obey is the God of our fathers, the God that we've talked about for centuries, but who raised Jesus after you killed him on a tree." And he continues, "But God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Now, there's two words I want you to understand in that verse: to give and forgiveness. See, these were things that religion doesn't have. These were things that the religion of the Pharisees didn't understand. The religion of the Pharisees didn't receive anything from their God. They had to work for it. They had to earn it. They had to do it. But Peter says, Jesus gave it to you. Jesus gave you this repentance and forgiveness of sins. Now, this forgiveness of sins thing is huge. Peter says, this forgiveness is yours. You don't have to make sacrifices for it. He's talking about how Jesus was sacrificed once and for all. They don't have to go through this whole sacrificial system business. They don't have to do all the religious acts. They don't have to do all the rituals and traditions that had found their way into the church structure at the time. Peter says, check this out. The same God, the same Jesus who you crucified on a tree, God raised from the dead, then exalted him up into his own right hand. And now he gives us, because of Jesus, not because of us, he gives us, because of Jesus, forgiveness of sins. And then he concludes. And this is how I know it. He's not defending it. He's stating a fact. These things all happened, and this is how I know. Verse 32. We are witnesses to these things. We saw it. I mean, we saw this thing. We're not telling you something we heard from somebody else. We're not telling you something that has no meaning in our lives. We're telling you this because we saw it ourselves. And you can almost hear Peter in the back of his mind saying, and you did too. Hello. I mean, we saw this, but it was just like just a few weeks ago, just a few blocks away. Not only did we see it, you saw it too. That's why he uses the word we. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has, again, there's that word given, has given to those who obey, follow him. See, friends in Christ, there's a big difference between religion and Christianity. Religion was what got Jesus crucified. Religion was the system within which Jesus entered that got him killed. Right, he went to the cross to bear our sins. But the system of religion is what killed him. Because he worked outside of their rituals. He worked outside of their systematic hierarchy of way to do things. Jesus didn't act like they expected him to act, and he went to the cross for it. There's a fundamental difference between religion and Christianity. There's a fundamental difference between religious people and followers of Christ. And it's this. Religious people are willing to kill for their faith, but followers of Christ will die for theirs. Religious people are willing to kill for their faith, but followers of Christ are willing to die for theirs. This is nothing new. And this is nothing that doesn't, this is something that actually still goes on to this day. It didn't end with Jesus, so religion is what got Jesus killed, and it was in the name of Jesus. You always gotta love that. It was in the name of Jesus that this thing happened in the year 1095. We know them as the Crusades. It was in the name of Jesus that the church took it upon itself to go out and obliterate anyone who believed differently. They would march across the lands and they would kill people for not believing in Jesus the way they believed in Jesus. They did it in the name of Jesus. That's not a follower of Christ. Because remember, religious people will kill for their faith. Followers of Christ will die for theirs. Jesus was a follower of his Father. Jesus followed his Father. He desired nothing more than for all people to be in a right relationship with God. He didn't kill anyone for it. He didn't maim anyone for it. He didn't harm anyone for it. He didn't wish ill upon anyone for it. Instead, he gave life. And he came promising life to all who would believe. Religious people are willing to kill for their faith. We still see this today. I mean, turn on the news. Okay, better yet, don't. If you happen to be as unfortunate as to turn the TV on at the time when the news is on, here's what you're going to hear. Someone bombed somebody. Someone strapped a bomb to their chest and walked into a building. A car bomber ran into some public place and exploded in front of everyone. Someone hijacks an airplane and crashes into a building. These are real things that happen in a real world that we really live in, and it's all about religion. It's not about being followers of Christ. Because followers of Christ are willing to die for their faith, not kill for it. Religious people are willing to spread the message that they believe in, no matter who they harm in the process. Followers of Christ are willing to bear any punishment necessary so that others might know the true life that comes through Jesus' death and resurrection. My dear friends in Christ, religious people, they're the people for whom Jesus died. People who think they've got it together and think they can do it on their own. That's the person Jesus died for. Maybe you're like I was. And when someone comes to you and asks you why you believe what you believe, you get all defensive and you kind of puff up a little bit and you go, well, I believe because and I'm going to obliterate you. I just like that word obliterate. But now, not too long ago, I had someone tell me that very same thing. I'm really not all that religious. I say, man, good thing, because I'm not either. And it opens a world of doors. Because Jesus didn't come to establish a world religion. He came to create and establish a new relationship, a working relationship with the Heavenly Father. Religion, driven to its ultimate end, will cause us to kill for our faith. Maybe not with our hands, but with our words, with our thoughts. But followers of Christ, we're called to die every day for our faith. We let a little piece of ourselves die away, that piece that is far from God. We let ourselves die and we put on that which is Christ. We are clothed in Christ. So now as followers of Christ, we do not obey men. We obey God rather than men. We follow God where God calls us to go. Followers of Christ, we're willing to die for our faith. I pray today if you're teetering that fence between religion and Christianity, religiosity and Christianity, I pray that somehow or another the winds of the gospel blow your direction to show you how merciful God has been towards you and how gracious He is toward you so that you might know and experience the true love of a Father who is willing to give up His Son so that you might live. Followers of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's time that we stand up for our faith, not to defend it, because Jesus needs no defense that we can give anyway, but that we might die for our faith, knowing in whom we believe and why we believe what we believe. I pray today that a little bit of you dies so that Christ might come alive in you. Amen.